First Chronicles chapter 20 is where we begin today's study, in chapter 20 verse 1, and we will also go through chapter 21. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, First Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, Joab led out the army or the armed forces, and he laid waste the land of the Ammonites and went to Rabbah and besieged it. But David remained in Jerusalem. Joab attacked Rabbah and left it in ruins. And so here we see that the Ammonites paid for their shameful treatment of David's ambassadors, the story that we looked at in the previous chapter. Verse 2, David took the crown from the head of their king. Its weight was found to be a talent of gold, and it was set with precious stones, and it was placed on David's head. He took a great quantity of plunder from the city. Let's just stop there for a second. This crown was placed on David's head. This crown that they took from the Ammonite king weighed about 125 pounds. I hope David had a good chiropractor. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, well, let's just go back to verse 2 just a little bit. It says, he took a great quantity of plunder from the city and brought out the people who were there, consigning them to labor with saws and with iron picks and axes. David did this to all the Ammonite towns. Then David and his entire army returned to Jerusalem. Well, the Ammonites found out what many have learned throughout the ages, and that is this. When you attempt to hurt God's people, you only bring trouble on yourself in the end. God says, touch not my anointed. Verse 4. In the course of time, war broke out with the Philistines at Gezer. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushahite, killed Sipiah, one of the descendants of the Rephites, and the Philistines were subjugated. The Rephites, by the way, were an ancient people known for their huge size, and I mean large. You're talking 9 feet tall around that area, maybe more. Verse 5. In another battle with the Philistines, Elhanan, son of Jair, killed Lahmi, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. So David killed the big guy Goliath with a sling and a well-placed rock to the head, as you no doubt know. He did that with the Lord's help, and here another little guy, like David with God's help, kills Goliath's brother. Verse 6, in still another battle which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. I told you they were big. I told you they were a race of giants, as Scripture calls them. And they were big, and they were mean, and they were bad. This one had 24 fingers and 24 toes. 24 fingers and toes, I should say. He probably wasn't too quick with size like that. Boy, but if he ever caught you, you'd be dead. Verse 7. When he taunted Israel, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Just big and ungodly. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. Well, good for David's nephew. This giant was a relative of Goliath, and he acted just like him. But he didn't learn from Goliath's mistakes. He did the same thing. He taunted God, and he taunted Israel, just like Goliath did. and he was killed by David's nephew. Verse 8, these were descendants of Repha and Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. So the giant and his four sons were killed by David and his men. Chapter 21, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. You see, it's sinful to take a census. Well, it depends what the thinking is behind it. A lot of things are morally neutral. They can be used either in a sinful way or in a righteous way. Here, it was a sign of sinful pride for David to number his soldiers. God had warned about this. So this was not done without warning. But David was beginning to look to his military strength for security instead of to God. That's why he wanted to take this census. So Satan tempted David to do what deep down inside he wanted to do. Of course, it was contrary to the word of God, but David did it anyway. He gave in to the temptation. Verse 2. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may know how many there are. And normally a census would not be sinful, but David's was because it was the outworking of his pride. 3. Joab recognized this. Look at it. Verse 3. Joab replied, may the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My lord, the king, are they not all my lord's subjects? Why does my lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel? Joab was not a spiritual giant, but he knew that this was wrong. Joab realized that this was a sinful thing. He was filled with pride. And so he tried to warn David. But, you know, once a sinner gets something in their head, it's pretty hard to deter them. Verse 4. The king's word, however, overruled Joab, so Joab left and went throughout Israel and then came back to Jerusalem. So the king insisted, so Joab obeyed. He did his part. He warned, but you can't make anyone obey God if they don't want to do it. So, you know, he let David have his own way, as God did. Verse 5, Joab reported the number of the fighting men to David. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who could handle a sword, including 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in the number because the king's command was repulsive to him. So Joab was sick of being a party to this behavior, which God didn't like. And he bailed out of taking the census before it was even completed. 7. This command was also evil in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. Joab warned David that his sin would bring trouble on many people, and it sure enough did, as we will see. Verse 8. Then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. David confessed his sin. He took full responsibility for his actions, and on that basis, he asked to be forgiven. And of course, God would forgive. Verse 9, the Lord said to Gad, David's seer. Now, I don't know, David's former prophet and advisor was Nathan. Apparently, he is dead at this point. So God sends David the answer to his prayers by the way of a different prophet, Gad. Verse 10. God tells Gad, go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I'm giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. Rather gracious of God, God is going to punish David for his sin, but he's going to allow David to choose the form of punishment. He's given him three choices. 11. So Gad went to David and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me. Now David must choose one out of these three. Whichever one he does choose, he's going to learn a very important lesson, that you must depend on God, not on your army or not on anything in this world. So he has to make his choice. 13. David said to Gad, I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of men. David knew from experience that man's cruelty and revenge could be very extreme and without mercy. Meanwhile, he knew God, and he knew that God was gracious and never went beyond what was fair in dishing out punishment. And as a result, David chooses God's wrath for punishment instead of man's. 14. So the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and was grieved because of the calamity, and said to the angel who was destroying the people, Enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. The Bible says, in wrath, God remembers mercy. And that is what he does right here. God pulls back on his punishment. See, David made the right choice. To fall into the hands of God rather than into the hands of man, that's always a wise choice. 16. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell face down. So the angel, which was about to send the plague on Jerusalem, was actually made visible to David. As a result, David and his men fell on their faces in terror, and they prayed to God for mercy. And God will use this prayer to do what he wants to do. But notice verse 17. David said to God, Was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? O Lord, my God, let your hand fall upon me and my family, but do not let this plague remain on your people. David loved God's people. But we should also notice just how seriously God takes sin. You know, just because God doesn't punish sin immediately and severely like this every single time somebody sins, doesn't mean he wouldn't be just in doing it every time. You know, we're shocked at God's punishment of David's sin here, but really, we shouldn't be. It's just that we are so used to God's mercy that we're shocked when he exercises his wrath. 18. Let's read 18. Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And this threshing floor was on top of what later would be called Mount Zion. And it is the spot where the holy temple will be built eventually. Verse 19. So David went up in obedience to the word that God had spoken in the name of the Lord, or that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Well, you can imagine. Araunah was working on that threshing floor on Mount Zion when he and his boys saw the destroying angel. What a sight that must have been. You don't usually see an angel, but when you do, it's a frightening thing. 21. Especially when they're holding a sword. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. Araunah knows that something is going on. Something big's about to happen. I mean, first he sees an angel, and then he turns around and sees the king. Verse 22. David said to him, "Let me have the sight of your threshing floor so that I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price." So David needed the entire area to offer the proper sacrifices to God, and he was willing to pay for it. Look at 23. Araunah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all. I will give all this." Araunah saw that angel with his sword, and he was anxious to see the plague end right now, because it seems like it was about to hit him and his household. I mean, it was hitting really close to home. So he says, "David, I'll give you what you need for free. Don't even talk to me about buying it." 24. But King David replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." It was David's sin, so he knew he would have to pay the expenses for the sacrifice. It was only right. He had to pay. He knew it. He had to pay because it was his sin. Now, that leads me to say this. Try not to confuse the eternal punishment for sin with a temporal punishment for that same sin. The eternal punishment for all sins was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. The temporal punishment must be paid for in some manner by the sinner. And that's what you see here. You say, "Well, that's Old Testament." No, New Testament too. Ananias and Sapphira, the people in Corinth who were sinning concerning the Lord's table were sick and were also dying, and they were Christians. So, it's a very important distinction to make there. Notice verse 25. So David paid Araunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offerings. David's sacrifices were to atone for his sin and to restore fellowship with God. God accepted his offering because it was given with a humble spirit. God showed his approval by sending fire upon the altar. So, very gracious of God. 27. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath, and consequently the plague was stopped in the nick of time. 28. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. For God's mercy, David brought offerings to say thank you to the Lord. Verse 29. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offering were at that time on the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Seeing the holy angel and seeing firsthand the death of so many people as a result of his sin left a lasting impression on David. There was a holy reverence and a holy fear of God which had not been in David before. His sin and the punishment that followed gave him a new respect for God's holiness. Next time, chapter 22. Thank you for spending this time with me and studying the Word of God with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.